You should make it Botox.
I've never really prioritized facials. I would prioritize what I like to call a toxic facial, which is just Botox. So, like, if I'm going to be spending my money...
I guess they call it soft maxing when they just go and get injectables, and then there's hard maxing when they're breaking their jaw.
I write about a lot of breast augmentations are like, yeah, 24-hour recovery, you'll be shopping the next day. And it's like, it's actually a major surgery.
Welcome back to Dewey Dudes, everybody. This is episode 133. In today's show, we have the pleasure of chatting with writer Ali Rowbottom, whose essays and short stories have been featured in Vanity Fair and the New York Times. She also has a column in Byline called Beauty Mark, where she answers pressing beauty questions from readers. Ali is also the author of Aesthetica, her debut novel that follows the story of a 35-year-old woman who's about to undergo a surgery to reverse all the cosmetic procedures she had as a teenage influencer under the management of an abusive lover. The novel also explores topics and questions about power, youth, and image culture. In this episode, we get into whether men should get Botox, our cultural obsession with youth, clear and brilliant laser treatments, toxic facials, invasive cosmetic treatments, the fragrance Agua di Gio, mesotherapy, the Golden Bachelor, and much, much more. So let's get into it. Here is Ali Rowbottom on Dewey Dudes, episode 133. Thanks for being here. Thanks for jumping on the call. It's kind of a really casual show. And well, I'll be honest, we haven't had a guest in a while. So you'll have to excuse us kind of just warming up to it again.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I listened to your episode with Jason Buford the other day, sort of to prep for this.
Okay.
I really like him. He's a great guy. So I think I have like the vibe.
Okay. Sure. It's always nervous when someone says like, oh, like which episode, like, oh, I listened to an episode. I'm like, I hope it was like a good one.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was fun.
We like to start the podcast by having our guest do a full rundown of their skincare routine. Talk to us about, you know, anything wellness related. What do you do in the morning? How do you get ready for the day? Your relationship to skincare.
Okay. Well, I'll be really thorough and then just please feel free to cut me off or cut anything that I say. I get up, I wash my face only with micellar water. For listeners who are in LA, maybe they will relate, but the water here is so gnarly. And for a long time, when I first moved back to LA, I was getting breakouts all the time and finally traced the source back to the hard water in my shower, which like was trapping the soap against my skin, creating like a film barrier between my skin and whatever like residue was on it. So I no longer wash my face in the shower or with any of the LA water, only micellar water. I do that. Typically, I have rented a Peloton and I will ride that first thing in the morning before doing any other skincare. And then I wash my face again. I'm using the Mad Hippie Vitamin C Serum right now.
Whoa, never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. You can get it at Whole Foods. I will say, like, though I have a bit at this point of a like beauty beat going, I haven't been that good about skincare in the recent past. I've definitely been more of a like, let me just lean on laser, like a laser once a year to like,
right. Like more treatment focused.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And like the rest didn't really matter to me. And I still don't feel like I need to spend a ton of money on my skincare. So something like Mad Hippie, which you get at Whole Foods for like, I got mine on sale. I think it was like $20 for the vitamin C serum, or I actually got some at Costco as well. Pro tip. but yeah, I don't think it needs to be expensive to be good, but I really like the Mad Hippie vitamin C. And then I'll just do moisturizer, Super Goop sunscreen. And like today I'm wearing a tinted CC cream.
CC cream?
And then that's up.
What's that?
I actually don't know what CC cream is. It had a real moment, like I want to say like 10 years ago. It was like one of those things where like 1 second nobody knew what CC cream was, and then like every aisle in like your local CVS was like CC
Yeah.
cream.
Okay.
And then there was like BB cream, I want to say also. I don't know what it does, but it's by IT Cosmetics. It's pretty good coverage, like for people who wear like tinted moisturizers or makeup of any kind. And it also has SPF 50 in it. So I layer it over Super Goop, which is SPF 40.
So you mentioned laser. What exactly, what sort of laser treatment were you getting, like regular facials?
No, not to the regular facials. This is another way in which I've been kind of like weirdly miserly, where I wasn't like, and I'd like to change this, but I've never really prioritized facials per se. I would prioritize like what I like to call a toxic facial,
Okay,
which is
what's
just
Oh, okay.
Botox.
Wow, I've
So like
never
if I'm
heard
going to
that.
be spending my money, I will just spend it on. I don't think that I now feel quite differently about using Botox regularly, but at least for the last like I want to say like 7 years, that was where I was spending my facial money. And then doing like one or two lasers a year. So I want to say like this time last year I did the CO2 laser, which was I was not prepared for how intense that was. I was probably unpresentable for over 2 weeks.
Oh my God, you were like super red, or like,
Yeah, super
yeah.
red. Like, and the red became like grid marks, and the grid marks were
Oh my
like
God.
splotchy. It's like, a burn aesthetic.
Yeah. Do you think it was worth it?
Yeah, I'm glad I did it.
Okay.
It's the funny thing with lasers is like, have either of you ever had a laser facial of any kind?
No, not yet. Not yet. We haven't ventured down that yet.
I've been thinking about doing it. Well, I don't know about laser. Well, yeah, we had this esthetician on. I don't know if you know Sophie Pavitt, a while ago, and I had a facial with her a couple months ago, and she was like, I was telling her I just recently turned 30, and she said it's time to get you on the laser treatments. Which not sure how I feel about that, but maybe I'll give it a shot in 2024. If anything, I am gonna do microneedling, which I feel like you do also, like you're kind of unpresentable for a day or two.
Well, just to jump off what you were saying, I think something like Clear and Brilliant is really popular, particularly for men. It's like a baby laser and it's very quick turnaround recovery wise. So just throwing that out there. I haven't tried it yet, but I would like to. Everything I've tried has been more of the like intensive, you go into like hiding for a week,
Yeah.
which was the CO2. I think it was worth it, but the thing with lasers is that like a lot of the time, and even microneedling can be this way. It's like it's so subtle and it takes weeks to months to really show results.
Oh,
And
yeah.
because you're looking at yourself in the mirror all the time,
You don't see
it's just
anything.
hard to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless someone shows you a before and after photo taken in like the same lighting at the appropriate time, it's like hard to tell. So you kind of have to just trust that it's working. But I will say, like, I don't have a lot of. I mean, I'm 37. I don't have a lot of fine lining or wrinkling on my face. And I think a lot of that
It's the
has to do
laser.
with lasers. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, Clear and Brilliant is actually exactly what she mentioned I should do. But that makes so a question for you. What should men get should men get Botox? What are your thoughts on men, young men, 30s, 20s? This is a topic we talk a lot about on this podcast, how young men be acting. Yeah, thoughts on them getting Botox. We also recently met someone that works for this company, Peachy, right, Evan? That's like
Yeah.
a new kind of even more subtle type of Botox.
Right.
And they wanted to get us pumped up.
Is Peachy, am I seeing like peachy storefronts around New York? Is that what
I
Peachy
think
is? It's like a.
that's what you're seeing. I think it's
Yeah.
like they've definitely like enter the fast casual injectable space.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done it yet. Going back to Emilio's question about the fellas, yeah, like right, we like kind of explore how men are coping with today's like image culture. I guess, yeah, we'll ask you, you know, what your thoughts on, you know, men doing some of these extreme, I guess they call it soft maxing when they just go and get like injectables. And then there's hard maxing when they're breaking their jaws to have them grow back stronger. But yeah, what do you think about how like young boys are kind of metabolizing being perceived, you know, versus like women? Because I guess like young girls, like that's something they've been being like just indoctrinated and having to be, you know, feel themselves being perceived all the time. But it feels like men are now starting to get a little bit of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's unavoidable. We have always lived in an image culture, but now we're all confronted with it on the daily basis. In terms of like how I feel about men getting Botox, I feel like something like Botox, for better or for worse, to me feels pretty rote at this point, like pretty just like coloring my hair or like, you know, whatever else I do, riding the Peloton. But, and I will also say for myself, and I don't think that this necessarily differs between any gender, but like, I do feel that I started getting Botox at 29. I feel like it's had a preventative effect. I don't always have like a full face of Botox. And when I don't, I have no like resting lines. And I was headed in that direction when I started getting Botox. So I really think it's like a case by case basis. I don't personally like a frozen look on anyone. Yeah. And I particularly don't like that look on men. And I feel like, I don't know why that is. Like, maybe that's my own like gender expectations or something like that. I mean, obviously it is, but I really don't like the look on anyone. I really hate it on myself, and it's hard to avoid. And for that reason, like I think being really mindful about who you go to if you do get injections. Botox is actually really hard to get right. It's harder than filler. So I only see a plastic surgeon, or like once in a while I'll see an injector who I really trust for Botox, but I'm super careful about it. And I would recommend everyone of every gender to be very careful about it. And I think that like, I know you both have talked about this before on the pod, but like there is this sort of, especially in LA, but honestly in New York as well, I think it's getting to be kind of a thing. Like there's this like sense that injectables are really like just easy to walk in off the street and get, and that for that reason people should get them, but like less truly is more. And like it's not always a good thing. Young people definitely don't need filler. I will say that.
Yeah, but I feel like they're or at least that's what seems to be like the trend on some of these like TikTok explorations that we do, that they're getting Botox and filler younger and younger. So they're just always having to look at everyone's a brand now, and they're always having to present their image.
Yeah. One quote that really stood out to me while we were kind of like going down the rabbit hole of like, just, yeah, like what Emilio said, younger people getting quote unquote preventative Botox before they even hit 20, is that I think, wildly, and I'm not trying to like roast this person for saying this, I mean, they're young, but their whole entire mindset was, I think their quote was like, you know, I want to be like 40 and someone say, oh my God, you don't even look 20, which was an insane thing, I think, like just to like conceptualize that, you know, like you really want to be frozen in amber, like at that age. what's yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I think Gen Z appears to me to have a pathological fear of aging, and that makes a lot of sense because our culture is extremely youth oriented, and Gen Z does a really good job metabolizing and bringing to the light like a lot of those deeply embedded, enduring cultural messages about what makes someone worthy. And our culture, as we know, is obsessed with youth. But nobody needs preventative Botox before they show signs of aging. you should only start to go get preventative Botox or Botox of any kind when you notice signs of aging on your face
Yeah.
that need to be addressed. Like it shouldn't happen before then. 20 is way too young.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Does your nighttime routine differentiate from your AM routine?
So again, trying to be better at skincare, not just leaning on the old lasers and the toxins. I alternate nights, so I will wash my face with my cellular water. Sometimes I'll just leave my skin to just sort of breathe. I recently bought a TheraFace on Amazon Prime Day or whatever that is. And I'll just sit on the couch with my TheraFace and do red light or like facial massage, which is really nice. Trying to like do my own like lymphatic drainage. And
Like
then
with
I
your
will do
hands or with
either,
like oh, is that what the tool is
no,
for? Okay.
the TheraFace is like a muscle gun for your face,
Got
but it
it.
also has red, blue, and another color light therapy that you can do, and there's a microcurrent head that you can attach, which
Got
I
it.
think that like another thing, not to go on a tangent, but in addition to like microneedling or like a clear and brilliant type laser, doing microcurrent facials is something I wish I had a little bit more extra money every month to do because like I think those really add up over time if you're consistent with them
Yeah.
using microcurrent in like a professional setting. And it's so uninvasive versus like, the next step up would be microneedling, which is a little bit more
Yeah.
invasive, I guess. So yeah, I will sit on the couch with my TheraFace and massage my face and watch TV. And then I'll either do glycolic acid before bed and a moisturizer, or I will do retinol and a moisturizer.
Have you ever used Tret?
No. My skin's super sensitive,
Okay.
so I even retinol, I have to use like
Small
a
amount.
pretty mild, yeah.
Yeah.
I find, and maybe this is like, just from brief forays onto TikTok and whatnot, that like my impulse is always to go for like the most extreme gradation of any product. Like I want like the highest retinol or like I want to go on tretinoin or whatever. But I think or I want like the clear or the CO2 laser where all my skin peels off or whatever. But for me, like I think that actually consistency with like mild but good products over time probably does more than just like blasting the skin with something that it really doesn't want.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're pretty like that's a pretty comprehensive routine. Where do you go to for like what are your trusted sources or your how like when were you first like introduced to like preventative Botox as well? Like who's been guiding you in this skincare
Oh,
journey?
well, I remember exactly who turned me on to preventative Botox. I mean, this was 2015, I want to say, and I was listening to a now no longer with us podcast called That's So Retrograde, and the girls who hosted the podcast were like maybe like a year or two older than me and announced that they had gotten preventative Botox.
Okay.
And I just remember I was driving in Texas and being like, oh, that's something I could do. I want to try that. Like I'm for probably for worse as just a personality type, I've been drawn to body modification, and sort of like, ooh, what can I like try now? Like And that was one of those moments where I was just like, oh, I want to try it. And I went to this is really not something I would ever recommend anyone doing, but I got a Groupon for Botox
Yeah.
and went to a strip mall med spa in the Texas suburbs, Austin suburbs. And yeah, just fill
Damn,
her up.
a true pioneer. Also, wow, podcasters back in 2015, also true pioneers. Yeah, I have some friends that regularly send me Groupons for microneedling in New York, and I'm like, I'm not giving that a shot. I honestly, before you'd
I
even
wouldn't.
mentioned it, I didn't even think about like, oh yeah, you should probably be careful about who you go to get Botox with. Because it's like in my head, it was just like, oh, it's just a little needle pinch.
Well, that never like dawned on me, like, because I've never been to like a medical spa and gotten those like medical grade treatments. But it didn't dawn on to me that that's like such like how much you have to think about that until, you know, like I was reading Aesthetica and the moment where I think like Anna's like thinking back on all the people who administered her procedures and where they went right or where they went wrong. And I guess, yeah, that is it. Like that's, you have to navigate that while thinking about body modifications and, you know,
totally
other types of things like that.
Yeah, I think there's this, you know, I said this already, but there's this sense that it's like so casual to get Botox or filler, yeah. especially, but even like larger procedures, like in Aesthetica, I write about like a lot of breast augmentations are like, yeah, 24 hour recovery, you'll be shopping the next day. And it's like, it's actually a major surgery. Yeah. And I understand why people try to sell it as something less than what it is, because you know, consumers are rightfully afraid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like when you're getting Botox, like someone is manipulating the pretty complex web of muscles above your eyes. And like people know that you can get like a droopy eye from Botox, but you can also just get like a really heavy appearance. And that's what I get. My brow is already a little bit like low and it just becomes really heavy looking if I don't go to like the right person and get just like a very small amount. And most places I found that you like walk in off the street will try to dissuade you from that. They'll be like, oh no, you need like a minimum of 35 units and we know best and all this kind of stuff. But actually they oftentimes don't.
Well, that was something I was kind of like, speaking of like selling tactics, something I like just never really thought about until like reading the book, is when you are going in for consultations, just kind of the language they use, which is kind of like, you need this, I don't like seeing this. There's something else that stood out to me that I was like, oh my God. Or like there was one moment where like someone said like they're diagnosing you with like such and such. And just the word diagnosis to me like seems like something that's whenever you go to, I don't know, like any kind of treatment center or you're getting checked up and you get a diagnosis, it's something that's like, you know, health related, not cosmetic. And so that was just that, I was just shocked to read about that. And it's, if I were someone getting that consultation, like, I don't even know how I would be able to kind of unwind myself into thinking that I maybe don't need these things.
Yeah. I used to go to this, which I will leave unnamed, med spa, like very she med spa in LA. And what they would do is like when you first got there, they would take you into this like photo booth and take your photo, which is standard. And they should do that because then they can like over time keep track of whether or not you're starting to look weird. But they did that. And then they would bring you into a room and they would project the photo on like a giant screen next to the chair. And then they would leave you in the room to stare at like a really unflattering photo of yourself.
Oh my God.
For like 15 minutes. And then they'd come back and tell you what they thought you needed. And you would be like, yeah, charge it. I don't care anything to make this photo go away.
That's like a mind game. That's crazy.
I guess in some ways, like maybe for some people, it'd be more of kind of an exposure therapy type thing. You know, like, I think like my girlfriend Anna and I were talking about, we just went to the standard spa in Miami. And we were talking about the mirrors in this hotel room. And we believe they were like put up there to make you look as unflattering as possible. So you go to get some treatments up in the spa. But
could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Do you feel like, kind of a dumb question, or I don't know if there's any difference. Do you feel like you're thinking about or more concerned or aware with your appearance when you're in California or in New York? Like, does it vary from place to place, or is it just like all kind of the same?
That's not a dumb question. Yes. I'm in LA. But less so now because I live kind of out of the city and I don't always go, like, I don't go into town very regularly. My days are pretty quiet and country. But previously I was living in Silver Lake and I did feel like I just sort of, in LA, you sort of drink in the culture by osmosis, and the culture is extremely invested in aesthetics. And it's almost like, to me, a sort of tangible sensation when I move through Los Angeles. Whereas in New York, I tend to feel, I mean, I'm from the East Coast and I feel, have lived on and off in New York for a long time and feel very comfortable there. I feel very comfortable also with my appearance in New York, and it's lovely in that way. And I also appreciate the diversity of bodies on the street, in New York versus like in LA, a lot of the time, depending on where you go, it can feel very just like influencery, and there's not a lot of diversity otherwise.
I mean, anytime I'm in LA for extended periods of time, whether it's for good or bad, I find myself starting to think like, oh man, I need to do this or there, or just like, oh, I need to get in better shape. But it's also just like, I don't know, I'm like always kind of like overwhelmed or like overstimulated in New York. So like that alone kind of like distracts my mind from like myself, or like the mirror's not always on myself.
In Los Angeles, I think too, like, you were sort of just saying this, but like a lot of this stuff becomes enmeshed, like a lot of this aesthetic stuff becomes enmeshed with health and wellness. So it's like, I gotta start like walking every day and taking better care of myself. And then it's like, I gotta start drinking the sea moss from Erewhon because like that's really gonna like oxygenate my blood or whatever. And then it's like the next step is, whatever, microneedling and so on.
And then it just continues to get darker and darker. No, not really.
It can. In aesthetica, it does, but it doesn't have to be like that, I guess.
So big question. Do we need Botox? I'm just
Oh my
No,
God.
I don't think so. I've now done assessments of both of your faces
Oh
over
wow.
Zoom, very in a very cursory way, and I
Okay.
would
Yeah,
say
how's the symmetry?
I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should do it.
No, I'm just kind of like I'm just kind of scared of needles. So I didn't realize it was like I watched my mom get Botox. Sorry, I'm blasting her. Well, I
I
didn't know she.
administer Botox into my mother.
Moms need
She
Botox sometimes, and that's
made me
fine.
push the needle in. No, we were like in yeah, we were in Mexico and she was getting Botox, and that's when it kind of dawned on me when I was like in the room with her that, oh right, it's a needle that like goes into your skin, and that's when I was like, all right, I think yeah, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that yet.
You could always do, down the line, you could do a facial. They have these, I've never tried it before, but I would like to. These sort of microneedling facials where they basically like microneedle small amounts of Botox or Dysport into your face.
Whoa.
So it's like you don't have like the syringe with a little like spurt and the needle goes in and you get Botox. It's more like a rolling or punching sensation, and like you get like the sort of glow that Botox gives without the extremity of like the frozen.
Frozen look. Whoa, wow, I didn't even know about that. The one thing I have like or that's been suggested to me, I guess, is injecting hyaluronic acid into your eye bags. I mean, you can't tell right now, but I have pretty just like genetically like kind of always have eye bags.
I wouldn't do that. I think that under eye filler is really tricky, and I wouldn't recommend it. I think that what you could do is fill the cheek area, and a lot of the time, what that does is it has the sort of it gives the illusion of lessening the under eye bags, but it's a tricky area to inject, and a lot of the time, if you put filler here, it makes your eyes look smaller.
Got it. Wow, I'm so glad we did this podcast today, or else I would have been
I
busting
feel
up
like
my face over the week.
yeah, I feel like you're turning us on to a lot of new things we haven't heard about. And I wanted to ask you, what are some like cosmetic procedures and trends that intrigue you right now that you see developing?
That I see developing.
Or like you see, trends, or just new things that you're learning about, or I mean, for example, like, you know, there's dick filler now. There's you can get dick prosthetics, like lots of wonderful things out there now.
Oh, yeah, I have followed that trend ever so slightly. I have like a side Instagram account that I created for Anna Ray, the prosthetic, the protagonist of Aesthetica. Mm-hmm. And I did repost a video of someone getting penis filler on account. There's like an eggplant emoji over some of the graphic bits, but like, yeah, that's one that I would wait a while on just to see how things pan out. You know, with like anything filler related, this is like all we're in the first generation of filler, and we've already seen how it can go bad, and it can like, you know, people were rushing out and getting a ton of filler at first, but it stretches the skin envelope. So then like your face just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and your skin stretches out, and it creates this uncanny look. And then like really the only way to fix that is surgically. So people were getting like filler to avoid getting facelifts, who then like ultimately
got the facelift.
You got to get a facelift.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a new, I think that like there is sort of a turn toward a more like quote unquote natural aesthetic that I find pleasurable. But I think that a lot of the time what that means is like an increased interest. And this, I don't think that this is necessarily a good thing, but in surgical procedures versus non-surgical. So like I find myself, I would much sooner save up my money for a surgical intervention, like 3, 4, 5 years down the line than get filler now.
Yeah.
In terms of other things I'm interested in, I'm kind of in like a chill moment right now, honestly. Like I don't have a lot of plans. I think that I would be interested in trying out PRP, especially I think that this is probably going to abate on its own, but I had COVID kind of recently and I've noticed I'm like, my hair is shedding a lot. And I think that PRP for hair growth is probably something I would do before going on something like Nutrafol. I would probably just get PRP.
Yeah. So again, my mother, got, got PRP. I mean, she's older, obviously. And was losing a lot of hair. Was starting to lose a lot of hair, and our family's always had like pretty thick hair. So somebody suggested PRP and she got that. And it even at her age, it made like a huge difference, let alone just like, you know, the hair stopped falling out, but like new hair growth as well. So I think, that's something Evan and I talk about a lot. not that he needs it, but I'm always,
I could use it.
You know, your hair can, cause it's also like, not even like it, it's just like a lot of people like our hair, like I didn't really need, well, you don't do like, I think men do something different from PRP. Like it's a different procedure with regards to your hair. And it's like, I wasn't like, I'm not going to go bald or anything, but my hair could be a little healthier. And it's like, yeah, you could go the route of like Nutrafol, or you could do this thing that's like a little more effective. And yeah, I'm kind of surprised that it's something that I feel like people don't talk a lot about in New York. Like I first learned about it in Mexico. And it seemed to be more like well known there. Like I think for men, it's a thing called mesotherapy, which sounds very intense. But yeah, it's sort of like a hair treatment.
Years ago when I was first researching Aesthetica, I went to one of the like top plastic surgeons in Beverly Hills, partially for research, but I also got a microneedling facial called Profound. And that's microneedling and radio frequency. But he also had like a hair specialist in the office. And this office was like kind of insane. Like the wait times were extreme. I wouldn't go back if only for that reason. Like I would just sit there waiting for my appointment for hours. But like I saw all of these guys coming and going with like hair treatments ongoing. It was kind of like,
whoa,
the TikToks of guys like leaving Turkey or whatever with hair plugs. It was like that.
Yeah.
That was a tangent, but yeah, I mean it's a booming industry here in LA apparently.
Damn. Yeah.
Speaking of the fellas, I have a couple questions related to your husband, because he's a surfer And yes. What kind of skincare does he practice?
Oh my gosh. I was saying before I came on today that I could do a better job of influencing my husband, John Lindsay's skincare. It's like hit or miss with whether or not I really like, not that it's necessarily my job to tend to his skin, but sure. I see it as my job.
Yeah.
Okay. So John, despite my admonishments, washes his face with Johnson baby shampoo in the shower.
Damn.
I think part of that is because I think that's like partially because he wears a lot of sunscreen.
Yeah.
He is redheaded.
Okay.
And he actually just last week had some skin cancer cut off of his neck.
Right.
And now he has a really badass scar on his neck. He also has one on his cheek. So yes, he'll wash his face with shampoo. He feels that that works really well to get the sunscreen off. And then he'll do a double cleanse with micellar water when he gets out of the shower. He wears sunscreen when he goes outside, but other than that, he really just, like, if he feels dry, he'll come to me and be like, I feel dry.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have some moisturizer? But he doesn't,
right.
He really doesn't know how to navigate the drawer of skin care
yeah.
in our bathroom.
Sure.
Has he always been kind of religious about using SPF, or did that come after like the skin cancer?
As long as I've known him, he's been pretty careful about the sun. I mean, but I think that in his youth, as a surfer in Southern California, he mm-hmm. wasn't.
Right.
He's also, you know, his dad was a surfer, and his dad has had a lot of skin cancer cut off his face. So I think like John is just aware mm-hmm. of the perils of skin cancer. Though I will say that like sometimes it seems like when one goes to the dermatologist to have skin cancer cut off, they give you like a little like tuck when they sew you up. So like that just seems kind of like,
whoa.
There's a positive side to everything.
They give you a tuck. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, they can't kind of like, sometimes it's hard to avoid just like, you know, when you're stitching someone up, you pull the incision relatively tight.
Not yes. Like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. You got to be very selective about where your basal cells show up.
Right.
I had one removed here and yeah, I don't think it did really anything with, maybe it stretched out my forehead lines, but other questions related to men. Early on in Aesthetica, you mentioned the fragrance Agua di Gio and how Jake was wearing it. And I was, you know, explain your relationship to that fragrance. And I guess another question is, what are some other like memeable fragrances that come to mind when we think of a certain type of, you know, cloudy scumbro?
That's a great question. Well, I will say like Agua di Gio is the only one that I really think of. And I think that's because I was besotted with a guy in college who wore it to my own detriment, ultimately. And that is where that came from. It was the kind of thing like for years, like I would smell it on some like dude in an elevator and be like, have like a sensory recall, yeah, and sort of shudder. But yeah, I'm not sure about male fragrances really. Like I've certainly been assaulted by a lot of them, but like, I don't know what the names.
Sure. Yeah.
I actually like it when my husband John wears his cologne, and I think it's called You by Saint Laurent, I want to say.
By Glossier.
I'll fact check it. I mean, for myself, and I think that this could probably go between genders, but I love Marissa Zappas perfume. She's like a perfume maker based in Brooklyn.
Oh,
and she does it herself. And I'm sure she would say some of her fragrances are gender neutral.
Got it. I'll have to look into that. Yeah, because I feel like Evan and I really don't know that much about fragrance. I've been using the same like two fragrances for like years.
Yeah, I will say like discovering Marissa's scents has really like blown my mind. I also realized recently John and I were in Paris and everybody smelled so heavily of fragrance, and I kind of actually love it.
Yeah.
But I saw people putting on fragrances in a department store, And they don't just like spritz their wrists in Europe. I think it's fairly normal to just douse yourself in a cloud of
Right.
perfume. So that's what I've been doing lately.
Yeah, and the thinking behind that is, or at least the stereotype is that the French, it's been like 5 days since their last shower, so a lot of the masking goes on with the perfume.
That's great, though. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's fine. I mean, I think I'm guilty of that.
Should we get into some segments?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
What's the first segment, Evan?
Do we rude? The segment
Right,
in
right.
which you can address your haters or you can hate on something that you don't like seeing in I guess the cultural moment.
Well, this is pretty specific, and I think I am safe in this space to call this out, but the kid who lives two doors down from me in my apartment complex lets his dog shit all over the sidewalk,
Oh
and
man.
it's constantly right in front of my front door. So I don't have a lot of hate, I
Yeah.
don't think, but I really don't like that. And for some reason, I am afraid of this child and incapable of just being an adult and being like,
It up.
you're gonna pick that up, bro?
Yeah.
So,
Damn. Have you
that's really on my mind lately.
you've like caught it happening in the like you've been there in the moment where the dog's taken a shit and he's walked away.
So the way my apartment is set up is that like it's, I guess you would call it like sort of townhome style. Like it's like one after another, there's a sidewalk out front and my kitchen sink looks out on the sidewalk. So
Got it.
I stand there regularly and I see this child perpetrate the crime. But, to be fair, it comes from his mother who also does it. So,
She's the
but
real.
I'm genuinely afraid like to say anything, 'cause if someone does that, it signals to me that they're pretty deranged and,
Yeah.
it's dangerous to take up the issue.
Yeah, that's good. Dude of the week doesn't necessarily actually have to be a dude, just anyone that's been on your mind lately.
Okay, well, I have thought about this in advance, and this person is a dude, and they have been on my mind lately. And it's Gary from The Golden Bachelor.
Oh my
I'm not
God.
sure if you two are watching.
Man,
I didn't
we used
watch,
to
but
big go ahead, Evan. Oh, I was just gonna say, Emilio and I, like when we lived together, we used to be a part of Bachelor Nation, and then I think was it Chris Harrison? Whenever he had
Chris.
the like that soft cancellation, he resigned as the host from the series. Not that we had like a huge admiration for him, but we felt like the show kind of lost its bearing. So we haven't had a chance to really tune into the Golden Bachelor, but we're ready to hear all about him.
I didn't realize he's 72, right? I feel like I recently found that out, and like granted I've only seen like promotional photos of him, so I'm sure a lot of makeup, a lot of tuning going on there, but he looks great for 72.
He's been religious with his skincare, maybe. I don't know. I think they probably filter the show
Yeah.
as well, like do a light filter, but I don't I The thing about Gary is that I don't, first of all, the thing about The Golden Bachelor itself is that we're like, the bachelor that we're used to can feel so like glib and people are obviously on it for followers and stuff like that, which is part of the fun, in my opinion. The Golden Bachelor is heart-wrenchingly sincere. These are people like who desperately, desperately want to find love. It is not like at all the 20 somethings who are just sort of like on it for fun. It feels like the stakes are high for a lot of the contestants, and that makes it hard to watch, but also, it's good television for that reason also. But I find Gary to be the least interesting, not surprisingly. I feel this way typically
Yeah.
about any given bachelor, but I find him to be super uninteresting and possibly kind of like disingenuous.
Yeah.
And it's my hope that, for the women who he does not choose that they can like band together and maybe just live out the rest of their lives in like a commune type setting together.
Is it like
it seems like they really found love with each other?
Is it just one of those like cases of just like an older man just like stuck in his ways, you know? Like, is it kind of like that?
No, I mean, yes, in as much as I will say this. First of all, the finale has not aired yet, so this is purely conjecture, but I think that he will be picking like the less independent of the two finalists, like the less I have my own life, I'm a free spirit, excited to live it, and more just like the person who's gonna like really fawn over Gary for the rest of her life. So I just feel like that is his vibe generally, and that he's so like, he's almost like a politician in his, which is again not completely unique for bachelors, but there's something about him at that age being that way that I find.
Yeah, where did they pluck him from?
Indiana.
Indiana. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, do you think like the there's just like a generational divide as to how people perceive like, I guess, long term partnership? I guess maybe in their case, the partnership's a little shorter and kind of more final.
I mean, Gary was married for like 40 something years before becoming the Golden Bachelor, which I think is, you know, obviously one of the reasons he was picked. But yeah, I don't really know how they're looking at it. They definitely, you know, everybody does seem very earnest in regards to like the stakes.
The final segment, the do we do's and don'ts. Give the listeners some advice or just things you're living by. What are you doing? What are you not doing? What are you focusing on as we round out the year?
Okay. Off the top of my head, you know, right now I'm really trying to focus on, as rote as it sounds, staying off of my phone unless I really need to be on it. And part of that just comes from like, my paperback just came out. I was on my phone a lot doing stuff around the book. And I noticed that taking a break, I never like announced taking a break, but just sort of taking a step back and taking an informal break from social media was like, so I felt so much better in my body and mind. So I guess that's an advice I would give, is just to like see about taking a step back if you can, and like you don't have to make a big announcement, just like take a step back. I'm also trying to meditate. We'll see how that goes. It's sort of connected, I think. And just in terms of, you know, more advice focused stuff, I guess, especially in the skincare space, I would say less is more. Simplify your routine as much as possible. And take any, you know, as like informal as I might sound about something like Botox or filler or lasers, like do your research and be very mindful about that kind of stuff, because like stuff that's sold as non-surgical can still have like lasting repercussions on the health of your skin and sort of your skin quality going forward. Is that helpful? Am I doing it right?
That was
Good.
That's it, Ali. Thank you so much for coming on. One wonderful first guest back in a while for us. It's been a pleasure chatting. Is there anything you want to plug or anything?
Well, check out Aesthetica, everyone. Already a given.
Yeah, I mean, check out Aesthetica. I think it's pretty good. There's definitely a lot of skin related stuff and beauty related stuff in Aesthetica. And yeah, that's it. That's all I want to plug. Thank you for having me. It was really fun to chat.